This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
China rubber stamps a raft of new regulations, sending a fresh chill through Asian financial markets. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The Shanghai Composite Index dropped more than 1% today, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong hit its lowest level since November. That's as worries continue to grow about the Chinese government's increasingly strict regulatory regime. The ceremonial legislature, the People's Congress, today gave the green light to the Communist Party's proposed rule governing how companies collect and store data. The laws, which are modeled after Europe's tough General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, will come into force on November 1st. Julian Evans Pritchard is a senior China economist at Capital Economics. He explains why these new rules are continuing to spook investors.
The issue in China really is that the regulatory regime has shifted drastically during the past year from a regime which was one of the most sort of freewheeling in terms of tech to one which is one of the most restrictive. And it's that very sudden shift in the regulatory environment that has worried investors because they just simply don't know how far this is going to go.
Julian said in theory, these new regulations should help level the playing field, but there are likely to be a host of unintended consequences too.
Because of the increased perception of regulatory risk, there's a lot less willingness to fund new ventures in China. We've already seen cost of capital increase. And likewise, among entrepreneurs, they're starting to wonder, well, if I put all this effort into building these businesses, will 5 years down the line, the government simply decide that this area that I'm doing business in is not helpful for society and essentially cut it off, similar to what they did with for-profit tutoring? I think this is not over. I think if the goal here was simply to address privacy concerns, then maybe this would be the end. But there are clearly broader goals as well. You know, we just got this week signs of an increasing focus on addressing income inequality in China. And I think one way they're going to achieve that is by taxing these tech firms more heavily. And that's something that Alibaba and Tencent have started to warn about.
That's Julian Evans Pritchard from Capital Economics there. Well, concerns about the regulatory environment in China have helped keep a lid on gains across Europe today. Benchmarks here in London and across Frankfurt, Paris, and Milan are little changed this morning. They're down in the 0.1% to 0.6% range. The broader Stock 600 index, meanwhile, is on track for its worst week since February as investors continue to monitor the impact of rising COVID-19 cases across Asia. The turmoil in Afghanistan is continuing to raise questions about the future of the country and its people. It's also casting a shadow over bilateral trade with India worth $1.4 billion. Earlier this week, the Taliban halted imports and exports with the country, sparking concerns among traders. From New Delhi, the BBC's Arunade Mukherjee explains how the dry fruit business will feel the immediate impact.
India's total imports from Afghanistan was worth over $500 million last year, and out of this, $300 million was just in dry fruits. In the face of rising inflation in India, the uncertainty in Afghanistan could directly impact Indian consumers. The country is also soon heading into festive season, during which most Indian households buy dry fruits as gifts and for religious functions. So a shortage could lead to a spike in demand, pushing up prices, say experts. Afghanistan was also the second biggest buyer of Indian sugar last year, making up 8% of India's total sugar exports. Over the years, India has invested nearly $3 billion in Afghanistan and is currently involved in over 500 projects. Industry members are hopeful that these are temporary hurdles and the situation will normalize in the days ahead. In Delhi, I'm the BBC's Arunoday Mukherjee for Marketplace.
Well, as the Taliban continue to work to form a new government in Afghanistan, worries persist about whether rights to go to school and work will be stripped away from young girls and women inside the country. Though the Taliban has said it will allow women to work within its ranks, the group hasn't yet announced policies on such freedoms. Charlie Robertson is global chief economist at Renaissance Capital. He dug into data illustrating the role women's rights play in a country's economic prosperity.
It's actually some work that I uncovered in the LSE library, the London School of Economics library, that was written in the 1960s by a woman called Mary Jean Bowman. And she pointed out that countries don't industrialize, they don't get out of poverty unless adult literacy was about 70-80% of the population. Inherently, that means a very high proportion of women, or at least half, have to be literate. And if they are not, well, then your adult literacy is at max 50%. And Mary Jean Bowman pointed out that if you don't have 40% adult literacy, you can't even grow sustainably as an economy.
And this is a big problem, potentially, because two-thirds of the population there is under the age of 25.
One of the positives about the last 20 years of US-backed rule in Afghanistan is that youth literacy, that young proportion of the population you're talking about, has shot up. I mean, it's now around 67%. And because you've got a young population, those are a high share of the country. And that is helping improve Afghanistan's literacy rate. The risk is that when the Taliban last ruled, they basically stopped all female education. If they do that again, all of the gains of the last 15, 20 years will be lost. And the country will be back into that no growth scenario. And Afghanistan is going to be in a mess for decades.
Is all of this just dependent on the country's government allowing an environment for education to thrive, really? Or does part of it depend on foreign investment and involvement in education?
There's been such a different range of ways that countries get from illiteracy to literacy. Countries in Asia, like Korea, did a very rapid government pushed adult literacy campaign, which got figures up from about 30 or 40% just after World War II. So they claimed about 90% by 1960. So in about 15 years, a concerted government effort could make a huge difference. And of course, Korea is one of the most successful economies of the last 50 years. So foreign investment, foreign involvement hasn't been, I don't see it as the most important driver here. It is about a government saying, we recognize this is important. The quicker we do it, the quicker we'll escape poverty. It just requires government commitment.
Charlie Robertson from Renaissance Capital. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure. Nice to talk to you.
All our coverage of the Afghanistan crisis over at marketplace.org. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.